So Hakuin Senzi still has a few lines, his Song of Sazen. The boundless, the cleared sky of Samadhi. How transparent the perfect moonlight of the fourfold wisdom. At this moment, what more need we seek? As the truth eternally reveals itself, this very place is the lotus land of purity. This very body is the body of the Buddha. It's always perfectly present. This very lotus land, this very body of Buddha, always present. And still, we seldomly experience it or see it or feel it. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe it? Oftentimes we doubt. Of course, more practice we've been doing. We have had glimpses. We have had glimpses. We have been there. We have been this body of the Buddha. We know it. It's here. But we have the other, sort of other us, other side of our being. There is a koan, Sei and her soul separate. And the case is very short. It just, Gozo asked a monk, Sei and her soul separated. Which is the true one? This very good question. Some of you may know that this koan is a longer one. There is an explanation that explains this story. Who was this Hei and what was her destiny? But for now it's enough just to ask. Sei and her soul separated. Which is the true one? This was a commentary that I will now read. If you realize the one, you will know that we pass from one husk to another, like travelers stopping at an inn. But if this is not yet clear, don't rush about wildly. When earth, water, fire, and air suddenly separate, you will be like a crab struggling in boiling water with its seven arms and eight legs. Don't say I didn't warn you. It's so strange, this feeling, this doubt, this confusion, when we kind of don't really know which is the true one. Is it the sound, is it the voice in my head that is telling, whispering different kinds of truths? Or is it this body, this simple presence? Also words. Words here as well. Candlelight. Keisu. Flute. Cold winter day. Those are not so much any deep philosophies. But this storyteller that is telling so many exciting stories, and many of them can be quite frightening or disturbing. But which one is true one? We would like to see that this more simple one is true one. But how can we get rid of this storyteller? Is it possible to get rid of? Or maybe... Okay, let's look something here. I mean, this it's an image, this puppet master pulling strings. This is the other side of us, is this puppet master. Of course, we are not that much aware of it. It is that voice behind, somewhere there, telling what you need, what you don't need, what you should get, what you should get rid of, what you should like and what you should hate. Sometimes it's you that you should hate yourself. It can be many things. And this puppeteer is moving our arms and legs towards to so many kinds of troubles, making us believe that if I only get this new toy, I will be happy. If I only can fix myself in a certain way, I will be happy. It's an endless thing going on there. If no one comes and save us, what will happen? If we don't wake up, this torture will be going forever and ever. I think there is this wise one also within us, of course. How you say it in English, this juggler, like a jongleur, juggler. This puppeteer can become a juggler. One day, this juggler can cut those strings and start to live free. First, we can't do much. Maybe we can have this one ball. We can try to play with it. We can throw the one ball only. And that's wonderful and fun. Sometimes it drops. Sometimes we catch it. Throwing it up and down, it will fall and we catch it. Little by little, our skills, our understanding will deepen. We will add another ball. And it's much more complicated. Now we have two balls. We have to coordinate more. We have to become more relaxed so that we can catch those. And then we add another one. Three is something different. And so on and so on. But all those things we have to practice. I would think that there are maybe we have six balls one day, or how many? One day I was thinking this, we had guests here, and I was kind of introducing this altar and telling that how we have six paramitas there, like represented perfections. And then now thinking this, those perfections, we could walk them through, like there is a given, Kiyosaku is representing Dana Paramita, which is given. Giving one's time, for example, for practice. We can turn these a bit round now and talk about practice. Giving other people the chance to practice, help in this practice environment so that we can all practice together. Then we have incense that could be, say, is the ethic, moral, or kind of put it simply, it's the precepts. We know those precepts, we have them all together, 16 sort of. Then we have flower, we have fruit. All those things needed in practice, we need to give the energy. We have to let it grow. We have to place it in the ground and let its roots to look water. We need the patience in order to make this practice alive and let it bloom and let it produce fruits. Where is we have a Buddha sitting there, Dhyana Paramita. The practice, perfection practice, perfect practice. Buddha practicing Buddha. No less, no more. We have candles, prasna, wisdom. This beautiful wisdom that just show the sky, light blue sky, white snow, brown floor. That is that wisdom, that clear, limitless wisdom. Very ordinary wisdom that is somehow muddied under this assumption that we have to get a new toy and a new toy and another one. Also, this puppeter, there is this famous story, just came to my mind, and I found a little explanation, so it's more easy to read it. I mean, the emperor's new clothes. Everyone has heard the emperor's new clothes. And it is a beautiful story, and it's a very old, it's really hundreds and hundreds of years old, the original. I don't know so much about that, how it was then, but Hans Christian Andersen was one who made at least one version of it public for us. But this emperor, he's really, if you don't remember, I will walk through the plot a bit. So there was this emperor who was very fond of, you know, for clothing. Can be anything, those new toys. He was really having them all and ordered new ones endlessly, using and spending all money, energy for those items. So that's, of course, suffering already there. He was grasping so much. And his kingdom or city where he lived was suffering, for sure, because he was abandoning people and was just spending their money for clothes. And then these two people arrived, and we could think that maybe it was just one person in this case. Could be, it could be Zen person, our hero arrives, and or our true nature, if you will. But in real life, it's someone who can push us a bit. And he has such a skillful means in use this time. And how beautiful is this, that he kind of lures or triggers everyone in the kingdom into this little story that he will make, he will supply him with this amazing new clothes. Amazing. Of course, who doesn't want those? But they are, as we know, they are something that if you are stupid, you won't see them. You won't see. Only someone who is really, really smart or wise can see those clothes. And then, since no one does not want to be seen as stupid, you know. That's why we have to say, oh yeah, I understand your point, even though we have no clue what's going on. So, of course, no one saw anything happening in the loom, or how you say, this machine that they are making those clothes. It was just someone was empty machine working there without anything on it. emperor comes and says, oh yes, it looks beautiful. It's progressing, I see. Yes, good work. Thank you. And then at the end, of course, it's ready. It's done. And it's a big show. Everybody is coming to see how the emperor will get the new super clothing. Amazing clothing, never seen like this before. And we could imagine the show, how it turns out. Town people are there. Everybody see there is nothing there, but no one wants to be stupid. But then there is this little child. Ha ha, emperor, you are naked. But you don't have any clothing on you. And that point, no one will act like everybody silently understands, damn, the child is speaking truth. But even the emperor is everything, everybody just keep going and pretends that, wow, wonderful. They are so shiny. It's a wonderful story. And it's kind of a tragic, and it's a sad, and it's a fun. But isn't that a bit like what's going on here? Sometimes, I think, even if we would get the thing, those wonderful new clothings, because they truly are wonderful, we still don't want to have them. I mean, those new clothes that he got, they are actually very wonderful ones. We all have them. We all have them. But somehow it's not enough. We think we need something more. As a child very wisely says, the emperor is wearing nothing. And we think, this storyteller up here in our radio station will tell us that you are fooled if you think that those are amazing clothes. You are fooled. Don't you see? There is nothing. You're stupid. Open your eyes. So there is this someone who always tries to convince us that this very, very life itself is not enough. This very naked life as it is not enough. We have to get something to cover it, to hide it away. And sadly enough, we kind of believe that. Of course, it's asked a lot of courage or simple heart, or I don't know what else, to stare this naked emperor. There's another emperor, a very famous, another emperor, Wu of Liang was his name. And Is this any different, this story? You know this, of course, but this is such an important story as well. Great Master Bodhidharma has arrived, and this emperor came and interviewed him, since after all he was a great master from India direction. What is the first principle of the holy teaching? And Bodhidharma said, emptiness without holiness. The emperor said, who is standing before me? Bodhidharma replied, I don't know. It's easy for us Zen people to kind of laugh a bit for the emperor. But the truth is that we are laughing at ourselves. Are we really clear with these things? Are we really free from puppeteer's strings? I don't think so. So I think it's good to accept the fact or recognize it that the emperor is still here and going strong, looking for new clothes. And that's okay, I think. But it's also very good if we can meet the Bodhidharma once in a while. Bodhidharma who also is here within us, within you yourself. There it is, sitting just right, using your buttocks, the great master, Bodhidharma. Again, it's very difficult to receive this teaching. This teaching of not holy thing at all. It's really difficult not to add any holiness, any glimmering dust. In the whole world we can't find anything more than just this not holy teaching, nothing more glorious than that. And it's great that we see it, don't we? I don't know, said Bodhidharma. That's an excellent Alpha and Omega. That's where we are. That's where we start. That's where we will end up. I don't know. I don't know. What a wonderful freedom is to be this not knowing. What a wonderful thing is to be an emperor and get the new clothes. It's damn cold out there. I won't go naked. All right. Thank you for listening. May all beings attain the Buddha way.